back to another jolly episode of Legally Judgy. I'm Alexa.
And I'm Nicole.
Oh, that was jolly. That was very jolly.
Thank you.
Proud of you for that one.
Okay. I want to be the Black Bulletin Board reader today.
Okay.
So
Black Bulletin reader?
We talked about this last week. From the church. Come on, keep up. So we've got our Patreon where we've got uncut episodes. We've got our community hub that's got some behind the scenes footage, some polls, some just ways to engage with your two favorite people ever. Mm-hmm. And then we've got minisodes. So if you don't get enough from our long episodes of an hour's worth of our voices, you can get little snippets of some funny legal stories that will keep you on your toes.
And you should definitely want that.
Yeah. They're so sign up fun. For our Patreon.
Now. Whoa. Jinx, you owe me a soda.
Okay. So while we're talking about Patreon, shout out to our new patron, Liza. Okay. Yeah, rewind that.
No, it's fine. It's Aunt Liza. She knows.
Okay.
Shout out to Aunt Liza.
Sorry, Aunt Liza.
Aunt Liza G, one of my favorite aunties in the world.
It's Alexa's fault. She didn't coach me on the pronunciations.
No, I would think Liza if I just saw that.
I was
that.
Thinking Liza Minnelli.
Yeah. That's my auntie. How did you know? Love you, Liza M.
Is Liza Minnelli still alive?
I don't know. Yeah. I'm going to say
I think she's alive.
Everyone guessing here? Yep. Yeah.
Let's do a poll on that.
She is alive.
Thank you. Okay.
Sorry. Imagine if this really was my aunt and I don't know if my own aunt's alive.
Well, welcome Aunt Liza to our Patreon. Mm-hmm. Everybody else, please join so you can meet Aunt Liza and the rest of our fun patrons.
Aunt Liza's a good time, man. Yeah. She's going to be running in that Patreon forum, so get in there.
Your family's a good time.
They really are. We have our topic of the day today. We're talking about Trevor Noah.
I love him.
You love Trevor Noah?
I do like Trevor.
Big fan? Comedic or person or... You watch his stand-up?
I'm a comedic fan of his. I have not watched his stand-up. I've obviously watched The Daily Show, which I think he's quite funny on. Mm-hmm. I don't watch them all. I'm not that committed. Okay. Because I don't want to hear about politics quite that often. I think sometimes you need a little break, even if it is funny. Mm-hmm. I also think he's a good-looking man, right? Like, he's not... Yeah. He's no Jason Momoa. He's no Charlie Hunnam. You know what I mean? But, like...
Hunnam.
That's the guy from Sons of Anarchy.
The white guy, right?
Yeah. I only like him in Sons of Anarchy, though. I've seen him outside, and I'm like, you're a little soft
for me. The bad boy?
Yes.
On the motorcycle?
So Trevor Noah is obviously not a bad boy, right?
No, he's far from, I would think.
He's so clean cut. He's like a teddy bear.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, he's like, good looking in the sense that he's a good guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you could take him home to the family.
Okay. He's the man you bring home to mom.
Yeah, he's like, you know, I'm done having my hoe years. Like, I'm going to pick this guy.
Trevor Noah. I can't imagine, because you're right. I do think of him as being such a teddy bear. I can't imagine him being a hoe.
No.
But he probably was. Why not? Or is. I don't know.
I mean, he's got a lot of options.
Hopefully not
now.
For Minka's sake.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like him too, for what it's worth. I think he's funny. I actually didn't think he was very funny stand-up wise until I saw him live. Mm-hmm. And when I was there, I just remember laughing so much. And it was funny because the show we went to was a taping for his Netflix special.
Okay.
And so it came out like quite some time after that, to the point that I could watch it and kind of forget what the jokes were and get ready to laugh again. And I remember watching it on Netflix and not really laughing as much, but not because I remember the jokes. I just remember thinking, oh, this isn't as funny. And then I realized, I was like, did they cut it and edit it in a, you know, in a different way? Yeah. And I was like, yeah, it had to be that, because I remember his jokes just being funnier and better in person.
Right.
So that I had always liked him just generally because I thought he was smart. And of course, I do like smart political comedy. Mm. But then the stand up, I was like, oh, no, he can be really funny.
Yeah.
But just live.
He's a cool guy.
Anyway, we're talking about Trevor.
So he barely survived.
He barely survived.
That's probably a little
dramatic. A couple surgeries.
Basically maybe. Had a surgery, and he was not pleased with how it went.
No.
So
we got to get into it. We got to talk about
it. Trevor is trying to get his day in court.
To be fair, he's in a lot of pain, allegedly.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. All right, let's break it down. You want to tell us a little bit about Trevi?
Sure, why not? So Trevor is a South African comedian, TV host, and political commentator. He's currently the host of The Daily Show on Comedy Central. And so, not so fun fact, Trevor was actually born in South Africa during apartheid, so his parents' interracial relationship was illegal at that time. Luckily, it was decriminalized a year later, and it seems like his parents really kind of, you know, found some workarounds in the system so he could go to good schools, and, you know, he had a, you know, pretty good upbringing, so it all worked out, but, you know.
Mm-hmm. Not everyone's story.
Not a great way to be born.
Right.
You know?
Not great for the parents.
Into
but good
apartheid.
For them.
Right.
Very brave of them. Good job.
And so Trevor starts performing at a really young age. Some highlights: he had a small role on a soap opera when he was just 18 years old. He hosted his own radio show and even went on to like host other types of shows, including dating shows, game shows, award shows, and even a gossip-themed show.
We need to check that one out, I think.
I would love to know what that is. How do we get one?
I want a gossip-themed.
I love gossip. Show.
What does that even
we do all
yeah,
day.
What does a gossip-themed show even mean? I mean, I guess that's what we're doing now. This is a gossip-themed show.
We're not gossiping. Kinda. This is based on fact.
Yeah, and then and some hot goss. We have some segments called hot goss.
We've hot goss from time to time.
We just need to get paid for this hot goss themed show. So remember, everybody, go sign up for our Patreon.
Yeah, or Netflix. Give us a hot goss.
You're gonna
show.
Get a lot of more shameless plugs from us over here.
Clearly.
Anyway, sorry. Go on.
So during this period, he also ends up pursuing comedy, and so he performs stand up where he could, and eventually kind of work with other big South African and international comedians. And he even opened for the American comedian Gabriel Iglesias in November 2007, which ultimately all kind of led him up to, you know, several kind of successful stand-up specials, obviously including the one that apparently your girl Alexa went to.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I feel like, you know, I was reading about him, obviously, in preparation for this, and like he was big for South Africa, right? Because you could be big in the country that you live in, and then it's another thing to get international. So I feel like he was picking up steam, right? Yeah. And he eventually moves to the US in 2011. And then in 2012, he becomes the first South African stand-up to appear on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, who was, of course, the host at the time, yep. Which is huge. I mean, mm-hmm. Jay Leno in the comedy sphere, personally, not a huge fan, but I could appreciate him.
He was
right?
Huge, yeah.
He's not like my kind of humor. Some mm-hmm, of his stuff mm-hmm. is kind of like dad jokes to me.
Yeah.
But anyway, huge. And then in 2013, he became the first South African comedian to perform on The Late Show with David Letterman. And after this, he continues to secure just a bunch of gigs doing comedy on various platforms, including Comedy Central and BBC. And then he goes on to become a recurring contributor on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. And then in 2015, Jon Stewart announces that Trevor is going to succeed him as the host of that show starting in the fall of 2015.
It was really like the passing of the torch from one of my crushes to another.
Oh, yeah. You're Jon Stewart's
a
crush?
I was a huge Jon Stewart fan.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why.
What? Yeah.
Maybe it was the salt and pepper hair.
He was a good looking guy. I mean, he still is, but I remember, you know how I knew him? Do you remember Big Daddy?
Yes, duh.
That's,
come on.
That's like a childhood movie, super nostalgic. But I remember him being in that, and I remember thinking he was good looking in that movie, yeah. Actually, because I didn't really know. I don't know how old we were when that came out, but I was pretty young.
Like 10.
So I didn't really know who Jon Stewart was outside of Adam Sandler movies.
Yeah.
But anyway, sorry. I have to say here, I remember people being pretty shocked that it was Trevor, because at this point, he had only appeared on the show 3 times. So he was hired as recurring, but he had just gotten hired.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people were like, whoa, who
but
is
you presume,
this guy?
Right? He had been doing some like behind the scenes stuff, maybe helping with joke writing for Jon.
Yes.
And you know, obviously he had been like a bunch of specials and things. So I'm sure it wasn't just like, oh, he came on 3 times and it was a one and done.
He'd been in the space for a while. And let me just say, I do think it was good that they got some melanin on these late night.
Don't mind it.
Shows. Right. Yes. Because late night, I mean, comedy in general has been dominated by white men. Mm-hmm. And then especially late night mm-hmm, mm-hmm. white men.
Yep.
Who else is,
I mean,
in the late
like
night 10 sphere?
Jims right now. 10 yeah. Jimmies.
Jimmies. Yes, exactly. And of course, his glow up didn't come without criticism. Shocking, especially for a comedian. So after he gets the role, people start, of course, especially on Twitter, going down his Twitter feed and finding old jokes that just do not age well. And it's worth noting at this point, right? He gets hired in 2015. He'd been active on Twitter since 2009. So you have 6 years of joke writing. And a lot of people started pointing out some offensive jokes he made, especially toward women, and ones that they said were anti-Semitic. Mm-hmm. You know, Noah ends up responding by tweeting, "To reduce my views to a handful of jokes that didn't land is not a true reflection of my character, nor my evolution as a comedian." Okay. And then Comedy Central, of course, back him up, because there's no way that they appointed him without vetting him too.
Right.
I'd be very shocked if they were like, oh, we had no idea. Mm-hmm. So they say it's pretty much the same thing. And a couple prominent voices within the communities that, you know, were offended come out in support of him too. This happens, right? So some women are going to be like, it's fine. And then some people from the Jewish community are going to be like, it's not a big deal. It doesn't belittle it, because, you know, comedy is just, You never
know. Subjective.
Yeah, it's subjective. So subjective. But anyway, the general consensus was, at least for the pro Trevor Noah camp, was, hey, things were taken out of context. That's not really who he is as a comedian as a whole, right? These comedians are making jokes all of the time. Right. So I think their point was, out of all the jokes he makes, this is like not even a percent, 1% of the types of jokes he makes. And I also feel like we've talked about this on the Pete Davidson episode a little bit, but I feel like comedians almost feel the need to push boundaries in society, right? Mm-hmm. Taboo topics especially. And to your point, some topics are going to be, they are subjective, and some people are going to be offended by them and some people are not. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I obviously am still a fan of him.
Love the comedians.
I do like, not all of them, that's but I fair. Do like comedians. And despite all this happening at the time, his debut pretty much got positive reviews overall. And clearly he's done amazingly well because he's been on
crushing it
air ever since. Mm-hmm. So what, he's going on his seventh year. And worth noting here that in 2017, Comedy Central extended his contract through 2022. So that means this year.
There's literally no way that they're not going to renew his contract unless he says no and has other opportunities. Right. Like, he's obviously doing so well. I think the viewership is really, really high. People obviously like him. He's gotten a lot of other deals. So it just seems like, why would you not continue?
Yeah.
You know,
I think his
legacy at The Daily Show.
To your point, if it doesn't happen, I do think it's going to be because of him, not because of Comedy Central.
And I mean, since Gideon, this massive gig, obviously, with Comedy Central, he's written a book about his life, which is called Born a Crime, which I absolutely loved. And it is a New York Times bestseller.
Oh, I need to borrow it from you.
That's right.
Did you bring it?
I forgot. I'm sorry.
Next time.
I have to like put reminders in my calendar.
It's okay.
But so the book did so well that they might even make a movie based on the story with Lupita Nyong'o, mm-hmm. who would play his mom, which I think is amazing because I love her.
That'd be so cool.
Yeah. And he's also done stand-up specials with Comedy Central and Netflix. And he's got a first look at Viacom.
Ding, ding, ding. We got a little fun fact.
Tell the people what the first look is. It's a fun fact.
Yeah, for anybody who's interested in the entertainment world, which obviously is our specialty, if you ever hear things like first looks or overalls, essentially that means that a studio gets some sort of exclusive right with that person. So in this case, a first look means that Viacom wants a first look at anything Trevor is interested in doing creatively. So let's say he has an idea for a show and it's about a donut shop. So that means he has to show Viacom that idea. And if Viacom says, yes, let's make it, great. If they say, no, thank you, that usually means he can go what we call shop it around town. So he can go take it to Netflix and Hulu and Apple and Amazon or whoever, right? So basically it's a big deal because you get a fixed amount of money every single year, even if you don't produce anything. And if you do produce something, you make money on top of it specific to whatever you produce, whether it's a movie or TV show.
Love that for him.
Okay, I'm done with my fun fact.
He's living his best life.
Mm-hmm.
He is also reportedly working on launching his own production and distribution company called Day Zero Productions. And then last but certainly not least, he hosted the 2021 Grammys and is coming back to host again this year.
That's a big
whenever
deal.
They happen because they got delayed/postponed. So.
But that's I feel like that's a good sign for people to host such.
Once you host the big ones?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Emmys, Grammys, Oscars. That's a big deal.
It was also successful for him too, because remember Kevin Hart was supposed to host.
Oh yeah, you're right.
The Golden Globes or something, and then ended up stepping down because people had kind of like dug into his past and his old jokes and really took issue. So I definitely feel, I was kind of nervous to see if Trevor was going to get to go through with it because, you know, the interwebs, man.
Get you
they
every
will get
time.
You. They
yeah,
will get you.
Especially the comedians. This is what we talk about, right? So it's interesting to see also how society shifts with the jokes. Like some things maybe used to, you know, that are not appropriate 10 years ago, maybe we've loosened up a bit and vice versa. So
I think it helps, right, too, that most of Trevor's are political. And
now,
so,
especially,
Yeah. Especially with The Daily Show. Like it's just, it's less pointed at like a group of people, I think.
Guess conservatives.
Well, yeah.
If you're a Trumper.
That's not like a characteristic that you can't change about yourself, such as being
Trumpers.
A woman or being, you know, LGBTQ or whatever the case is. So
correct. You're right,
I find it more defensible.
You're right.
Okay, so obviously Trevor has been incredibly successful, but of course, one cannot be this rich without a few legal issues along the way.
Mm-hmm.
We should note this is actually like not one of our standard legal issues that we bring to you because a lot of things, it's definitely been like a lot of contract stuff, right, so far?
Yeah, I would say that. I mean, We've never had a medical malpractice lawsuit.
No, so it's definitely different. That. In
this
that
is
way.
Different for us. It's this is exciting. In that way. It's exciting for us.
Let's get into it.
Let's.
So, just last month in December of 2021, Trevor filed a lawsuit against a New York City hospital called the Hospital of Special Surgery. Fun fact, I have received treatment there. I actually enjoyed my experience, but...
Wait, what happened? You broke something?
No, I didn't break something. So I had to get like a biopsy in my leg.
Oh.
It was really sad too. It was in the middle of a work day while I was still at the law firm. And I like went and got the biopsy and went back to the office and kept working.
Oh my God.
They did a really good job.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you're alive, so I guess it went well, huh?
I feel like you would have died. They had to like they just... Ew. They basically just like numbed my God. Whole leg and like cut it open in front of me and were like...
What?
Taking out tissues to do the biopsy.
Did you ask to look though? You're a weirdo. You're like into that.
I mean, I was like... I didn't ask to look. I could have looked away, but like you're in this chair where like you're basically sitting up over it.
Nicole, they opened your leg in front of you?
I swear to God, they like numbed this whole section and literally sutured it open.
I'm going to throw up right now on this microphone.
Okay, we're going to move on from this.
So was there like a flap of skin open on the table? Like, what do you mean?
It was, I'll show you the scar when we're done.
Oh my God. And you're just, and they didn't, did they ask you though? Like, do you get queasy? Do you want like some sort of...
I don't think so.
This doesn't sound like a great hospital to me. Now everything's changed. I'm never going to this hospital.
Okay, well, let's get back to Trevor's issues. I'm completely fine now.
Then we'll get to my issues.
So Trevor files a lawsuit against this hospital, Hospital of Special Surgery, again, and this doctor, Dr. Riley J. Williams III, over a surgery that Trevor had in November of 2020 for an undisclosed condition, which he says was botched.
Mm-hmm.
So the background is that Trevor was actually receiving care at this hospital for an issue beginning in August 2020 and then basically went through until December 2020, which was after the surgery since that was in November. And again, the medical issue has not been made public. You know, of course, there are very strict laws on making health and medical information public. So Trevor would basically have to disclose it himself and the hospital and the doctor forbidden from doing so.
Mm-hmm.
But... we do know that Dr. Riley J. Williams III does knee, shoulder, and elbow surgery. So he's basically an orthopedic doctor. So mm-hmm. I think it's like safe to assume that the condition is related to, you know, one of those joints.
He did not go to him for like a rhinoplasty.
Right.
For plastic
surgery.
Yeah,
no,
probably
think
not.
He was probably dealing in one of those ligaments.
I have some fun facts.
Get into your fun facts.
So a couple fun facts. This hospital, before I found out that they do open heart surgery with you watching, sounded pretty reputable. Sounded pretty reputable before this, but anyway, as I clutch my chest, my pearls. The hospital was founded in 1863 and is the oldest orthopedic hospital in the United States. Mm. That's what they say on their website anyway. And they are the official hospital.
Can you imagine they just made that up? That's on their website.
just covering my bases in case another orthopedic surgeon is listening and was like, it's my hospital. I opened it in 1862.
I love the accent.
Well, someone in 1862, do they talk like that? Anyway, we don't need to get in transatlantic accents. Anyway, this hospital is the official hospital for the New York Giants, the Mets, the Knicks, the Brooklyn Nets, and USA basketball, among others. But these are some highlights. And the doc...
A lot of losers, huh?
Yeah.
It's not a great lineup. I don't really know.
I mean...
If that's a...
Yeah, they...
Added confidence.
Yeah, that's fair. But anyway, we've heard of those teams. It's not like ASO soccer. This doctor is a Yale and Stanford educated doctor. Not that I want to be super snobby, but I have heard of those schools as well. And he also happens to be the medical director and head of orthopedic surgery for the Brooklyn Nets, New York Liberty, and the Red Bull soccer team, and is also a team physician for USA basketball, which those teams probably impress you even less if, you know.
Yeah, sorry, didn't
the Knicks didn't
for me.
The Knicks didn't impress you.
Yeah.
But obviously
they're reputable.
We've heard of them.
They've done some things.
Yeah, they've done something. It's not like club sports.
Right.
You know?
It's not like a high school basketball team.
And at the junior high level.
Yeah.
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 All right. So Trevor's filing in December claims that the hospital and the doctor were negligent and careless in failing to treat him and care for him in a careful and skillful manner, which basically constitutes professional negligence. Negligence, we've talked about this a couple times before in different, very different contexts, mm-hmm. but negligence is negligence at the end of the day. And that basically, just as a reminder to our judges, it happens when someone has a duty to use a certain level of skill, prudence, care towards somebody else or something else, and they breach that duty by failing to act with reasonable care and that results in avoidable harm. Mm-hmm. I just said a lot of words.
Yep.
That was like the legalese version. Mm-hmm. But think back to, I feel like, where we really dug into this Travis Scott episode, mm-hmm. negligence, right? A couple other times we've talked about negligence. Basically, did you act with disregard for someone else's well-being? Mm-hmm. And then you add the professional aspect to it. Essentially the same thing, but occurs when someone is negligent while providing, in quotes, professional services. So essentially they breached a duty that they owed because of their profession.
Yep.
So just think legal professionals, lawyers, right? Medical professionals, doctors, nurses, accountants, right? Because you want to depend on an accountant with specialized knowledge. Mm-hmm. Architects, engineers, investment advisors, basically like highly specialized, highly qualified individuals that probably have to go to schooling for a lot longer to do what they do. And, you know, it doesn't mean that just because you were in a trade that you would be professionally negligent if you messed up. So just, I like to think of it as if they messed up, something very, very, very bad mm-hmm. could happen. Mm-hmm. And some, like a couple examples, because I always like examples, like a lawyer who forgets to submit a filing by a deadline mm-hmm. and the statute of limitations is up. So that means that basically you can no longer file your claim. That mm-hmm. would be very, very bad. Or an architect who violates building codes. You're depending on your architect to know the building codes and not violate them when you're depending on them to build a building, right? All right, then. So you put it all together, you have medical malpractice, which is a type of professional negligence that applies to the medical community that results in substandard treatment, and that then results in an injury to a patient. I just said a lot of things. So do you want to help me dig into all of that so I can get a drink of my tequila?
Wow, of your tequila. Mm-hmm. I mean, so to your point, though, basically medical malpractice is a version of professional negligence. It, you know, it basically means that doctors are so highly specialized and so highly trained that when they go wrong, really messed up, fucked up things happen to mm-hmm. their patients.
And that's legalese for it.
That yep. is the legal. Yep. And the statute says fucked up.
Fucked up some shit.
Trevor's basically saying that medical malpractice took place here. And so, again, professional negligence could result from like a careless error during surgery or during a treatment or during a diagnosis. So there's like a number of arenas in which this could actually happen as mm-hmm. a doctor or even as a nurse.
Right. Steps along the way, you're saying. Because yes. like you can misdiagnose somebody. And that could lead to a lot of bad things.
Or, yeah, you misdiagnose, and then they get the wrong surgery, the wrong treatment, or you diagnose correctly and do the wrong surgery. Like, you know, we've seen reports, right, about, like, mm-hmm. people going in for surgery for one leg and then coming out and, like, mm-hmm. the opposite leg is operated on.
Yeah. I once remember hearing about a woman who had some surgery on her abdomen, and they left a towel in yes. her abdomen. Yep. Remember that one?
I remember that one.
Where they leave, like, a scalpel mm-hmm. in there or something like that. Mm-hmm. That is professional negligence.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. So as a result of that injury, the patient suffers, you know, economic and or non-economic losses. And so it's worth noting that this is actually one of the most common types of negligence and personal injury claims, because obviously people go to mm-hmm. the doctors or even the dentist all the time.
Yep.
And so some common damages are pain and suffering, emotional trauma, psychological harm, lost wages, because of course you might not be able to work, mm-hmm. lost earning capacity, same kind of, you know, thought, diminished quality right. of life, future medical care, therapy, rehab that are being required, and obviously have costs resulting, and the list kind of yep. goes on. And so keep in mind that receiving poor service or not getting like the best outcome possible from a professional or even a doctor does not mean that it rises to the level of professional negligence. Mm-hmm. A plaintiff basically has to show that there was an actual breach of their duty of care, and that there was, again, this harm that comes out of it. And so because of that, negligence cases are super fact-specific and usually require hiring expert witnesses to testify about what constitutes proper care and, you know, what the duties were and how, like, what the issue was and how the injury could have been avoided and all of these, like, very fact-specific questions.
Yeah, the one that comes to mind, at least, because obviously we're lawyers and I think about this a lot, is that people want to sue their lawyer if they don't win their case.
Yes.
Right, in court. Mm-hmm. Like, just because you lost the case doesn't mean your lawyer was negligent. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they were, they were. But usually, like, you know, they just got out-argued or the jury didn't agree with right. your set of the facts. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So here, you know, because Trevor is basically claiming that there's medical malpractice, he will have to prove that the hospital and the doctor breached their duty and their standard of care and that it caused the injuries that he's now suing over.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's worth, you know, kind of getting into some of the specific allegations that he's got.
We gotta.
Want to go?
Sure. I'll tag myself in.
You're it. Duck, duck, goose.
Goose. So specifically here, Trevor alleges that the hospital and the doctor basically failed to do a bunch of things. So let's get into it. They failed to adequately inform him of the risks, hazards, and alternatives. He says that he would have refused treatment if he knew what was going to happen as a result of receiving the treatment, mm-hmm. the surgery, right? Mm-hmm. And remember, everybody, we would love to get into more specifics, but this is literally what his complaint says. It's kind of general. And we're gonna
imagine it's a knee. It feels like this is a knee.
It's a knee issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Knee affects a lot of things on the body, walking,
who
standing,
cares about an elbow?
Moving. I mean, I like my elbow, but yeah, I think I'd care about my knee more if someone was like, should I break your elbow or your knee? I'm like, those are not great choices, but elbow. I guess first. The elbow, break at least elbow. I can walk yeah. on my knees after that.
So let's just assume it's a knee.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay. So anyway, so he says, you didn't inform me. And as a result that they failed to obtain proper and informed consent for treatment, which is required by law. Whenever you go to the doctor, it's a thing, right? Informed consent. Because
it's like when you sign the forms, right? You go in and you sign the waivers that basically say, correct. Like, you can do XYZ on me today. You can take the x-rays. Right. You can
right.
give me a shot, whatever the case may be.
Right. So let's take your example of this hypothetical. His it's knee. A knee. Okay. Yes. This hypothetical.
Is it a hypothetical?
It's his knee. It's you're just going to start this conspiracy theory. All these reports are going to come out. It was his knee. But yeah, if it was his knee, then he's basically saying, you didn't tell me that there were alternatives to this. Maybe it's a surgery, right?
Yeah.
Maybe he could have done physical therapy yep. instead, because sometimes obviously surgeries can complicate things mm-hmm. afterward. Mm-hmm. And let's get back into the legal, because we're not doctors. I'm not going to talk about any more further than that. But it's worth noting here that, you know, like Nicole said, he filed in New York. And in New York, to have a valid cause of action based on a failure to obtain informed consent, the plaintiff slash patient who's suing would have to show that, in quotes, a reasonably prudent person in the patient's position would not have undergone that treatment or surgery had they been fully informed and because of the lack of informed mm-hmm. consent, right? Mm-hmm. So basically, again, another fancy way of saying, would a reasonable person have refused treatment? Mm-hmm. And I think that probably is very, very murky yeah. because people are going to be very different depending on their pain tolerances, depending on what the outcome of the surgery or
depending
alternative
on their
treatments.
Lifestyles.
Yeah, because, like, you
know.
Like,
if you're someone who's super athletic and your knee is fucked up because it's a knee.
Correct.
You know, you might choose different. You might choose a different treatment than if you're somebody who, you know, realistically is, like, more sedentary and, like, maybe doesn't need
yeah.
the same kind of functioning in their knee.
And usually, I'm guessing with surgeries, maybe it's going to be a harder path, but quicker path.
Yeah.
Versus physical therapy mm-hmm. is going to be a longer path, but hey, maybe it won't be as painful. Mm-hmm. So, again, this is what we have to think through. And this statute was an interesting one. I'm not going to get into the details because I think all you judges would get really bored. But I do want to mention that one of the defenses said that basically if it's so obvious that whatever would result from, let's say here, the surgery, it like anybody with common knowledge would know that, let's say, from a surgery, you're going to have bandages and you're probably going to have to drain yourself and yeah. do all that. A doctor shouldn't have to inform you
of the
obvious things, yeah. which I do remember in law school, certain people trying to sue over like surgeries because they were in pain after.
Right.
And you're like, well of course you're going to be in pain after surgery.
Yeah.
You just had like, I don't know, like your leg opened up like after it's sewn back together.
It was fine. I went back to the office.
Well, your bio, I don't know. You're also like in New York shaking down doors and hoping for lawsuit payout. So I think your pain threshold is a little higher than the average person.
Maybe.
Okay, you take it. Let's go back and forth. There's so many here.
Okay, so he also said that they failed to investigate the qualifications, competence, capacity, abilities, and capabilities of the doctors, nurses, and other employees there.
That's a big one.
So basically he's saying none of these people were trained and ready to do the surgery on
him. They were just some bootleg doctors and nurses.
Just off the streets.
That's kind of bad for our main doc, William, who was trained at Yale and Stanford and is the head of orthopedics.
All the teams in New York.
Yeah. So I'm interested. I would be very interested to see how he spins that one. I imagine maybe he's talking about the other staff, but I don't know, TBD. He goes on to also say that they failed to use approved methods in general use in the care and treatment of him. So he's basically saying that whatever the standard would be to treat me, you deviated from that. Mm-hmm. You did something different.
Mm-hmm. He also said that they failed to prescribe proper medications that could have been, you know, like whatever he's taking after for pain.
Mm-hmm.
maybe even before for like an infection or like pre-treatment.
Wrong thing.
Long story short, saying that the medications were wrong.
Okay. He said that they failed to discontinue certain prescription medications. So in tandem with what you just said, not only did they fail to prescribe the right ones, but they failed to stop him from using the wrong ones.
So like hypothetically, if someone got like hooked on a, you know, pain med, this might be a claim that they had. I'm not saying that that's the case
hypothetically,
here.
Hypothetically. Yeah.
Uh-huh. He also said that they failed to use proper tests and examinations to diagnose his conditions. Mm. So
not good.
Maybe it was supposed to be the elbow and they did the knee.
Imagine he's like, my elbow's real fucked up, yo. And Doc William was like, you know what? I got you. And he starts operating on his knee. Yeah. If that happened, I'm all for this lawsuit. And we need to take a moment for some, I'm going to call it noteworthy commentary from us, because I have to say, Trevor's complaint doesn't have as many detailed facts that you'd expect in a negligence lawsuit, other than mentioning like specifics like the medication that you said. That's specific, right? Mm-hmm. You prescribed the wrong medication, mm-hmm. and then you failed to stop me from taking another wrong medication.
Yep.
That's specific. Okay, I got it. I can figure out. Instead, a lot of his complaint had a lot of what we'd call conclusory statements, like they failed to care for him in a skillful manner.
Yep.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
That's too general.
You have to provide more.
Yeah, I need to know how did they fail, mm-hmm. though?
What did they do?
What did they do?
That was a failure.
Exactly. So like the example of the towel being left in the woman's abdomen. That's clearly
straightforward.
Yeah, there's facts. It's descriptive. I can even picture it. I picture this poor woman with a little bulge in her stomach because there's a crumpled towel in it, yeah. right? So assuming this goes forward, the court will likely want to dig into this because negligence claims, like we've talked about, are so fact specific. Mm-hmm. You're going to call in the experts, like you said, to say, okay, you're a doctor, mm-hmm. right? Your expert testimony is going to be from other doctors in that field, usually mm-hmm. somebody that has that information and says, when we do a knee surgery, yep. these are the things that we do. These are the medications we prescribe. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then you're going to compare it to what Trevor was prescribed. Right. That's the way you're going to do it.
Yep.
Here, not enough to go off of.
No, but he's got enough claims to basically say that he suffered a serious personal injury that is permanent, severe, and grievous. And he specifically says, in quotes, that he sustained severe and painful personal injuries, sustained severe nervous shock, mental anguish, severe emotional distress, and great physical pain, and was confined to his bed for long periods of time. Again, interesting, though, because it's like one of those like obvious things, right? Like, if you, in theory, have knee surgery, you might be in bed for a little bit after. Like, I'm not even, like, just yeah. saying the knee. You know what I mean? Like, if you have shoulder, elbow, whatever.
Surgery.
Like, you might yes. have to be in bed recovering. So, correct. Like, also not a lot of facts in terms of, like, was he in bed for 2 weeks versus, like, two right. months? Because that,
yes.
you know, makes a you're difference.
Right. Like, what does a long period of time mean?
Precisely.
Yes.
And so he also says that he suffers from a loss of enjoyment of life and is unable to do his job as a host for extended periods of time. You know, I just want to know
right, the knee.
It's pointing to the knee. I'm
you're
trying
right.
to tell you.
Oh, there's so much passion.
Okay. I just want to note that it's unclear on the job front since they were already on a 3-month hiatus.
The Daily Show.
Yes. Okay. He and his show were on a 3-month hiatus at the time. And he returned in September because he was, you know, still getting the treatment. Like mm-hmm. I said, he started in August. Mm-hmm. But then he only took off 7 days around the surgery.
Interesting.
So like,
little
is
sleuthing.
He unable to do his job or?
And it's funny because on the Daily Show, he mainly sits.
Mm-hmm. Ligament out of the shoulder, the elbow, and the knee would hurt the most if
I guess
were
if
sitting?
I want my elbow on the desk,
he
that
doesn't
does
sit
hurt.
That way. You've watched the show, you
I know
he doesn't sit like that.
Also worth noting, hasn't he been filming a lot of segments like from his house too? He's like sitting. It's like a work from home. It's
a lot of sitting is all I'm saying. One's knee could hurt. My knee hurts sometimes too, Trevor.
As if this is very salacious too. I know it was knee surgery. I just know it. It have torn patella.
And so his filing also goes on to say that because his injury is permanent, he will continue to suffer similar damages in the future. The actual damages, like monetarily, were not specified, or at least we couldn't find them because it wasn't like completely public. But that's what Trevor is talking about.
He wants lots of money.
Apparently the millions that he gets are not enough.
So the hospital, I know we're poking fun of him, not to say that he doesn't have these things, but we've just seen the complaint and Trevi, you got to do a little bit better
here.
There's
no evidence, my guy. Hire better lawyers.
Not saying that you don't have it, but come on, guy.
You could have hired us. We could have put together a better
story. We're not even litigators. We're not even litigators. Talk to us about your hypothetical knee or elbow or I forgot the other thing.
Shoulder.
Shoulder. Okay, the hospital responds and says, shockingly, the claims are meritless. So they say that they received a complaint filed on behalf of Mr. Trevor Noah. We have shared with Mr. Noah's attorney a detailed rebuttal to the claims, which are meritless. Due to HIPAA, we are restricted by law from addressing publicly specific aspects of the treatment of any patient, which you already talked about, but HIPAA stands for Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act. It's a federal law that protects sensitive health information from being disclosed without the patient's consent or knowledge. So along with this statement that they made, which they made publicly to mm-hmm. quite a few news outlets, I feel like they were like, let's clear our reputation mm-hmm. right now. Mm-hmm. They also filed responses afterwards asking for the judge to dismiss the complaint. Well, multiple complaints, because they sued the hospital and the doctor personally.
Yep.
As well as costs and disbursements of the action. So essentially they're saying, this is such a waste of time. Also, pay our lawyers.
Give me my money back.
For everything.
Yeah.
And then last week, January 8th, the hospital files another document specifically, as specific as they could anyway, denying almost all of Trevor's factual and legal claims. Basically, they only confirm certain, like, very basic information, mm-hmm. like they're a company and their hospital information.
Yeah.
These complaints can get real boring real quick, people. Mm-hmm. I mean, you should see the lines. It's like, I am Joe Schmo. Yeah. I live at 123 Strawberry Lane. Like, and so you have to go be like, yes, I'm Joe Schmo. Yes, I live at Strawberry Lane. So basically, they said yes to that. Not controversial. And they did say that they acted within accepted standards of medical care, and they basically leave the rest to the court. They did add that they didn't have sufficient information to respond to the remaining allegations that they essentially didn't deny because they felt they couldn't, because it was so general, right? Like we talked about, Trevor's claims was just, you failed to act in a skillful manner.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, like how?
Yeah.
What do you say to that? It's like, but we did.
Right.
Right? That would be the response. Did. Yes, we did. And then we're done. And the court's like,
no, you didn't.
The judge is like, come on, guys. I have nothing to work with.
Right.
They do suggest that whatever, if any, damages Trevor suffered from are his fault, though. And they said that it wouldn't be due to their negligence of the hospital or the doctor. So essentially here, they're invoking what New York law refers to as pure comparative negligence. Mm-hmm. I remember this in torts in law school and being like, I don't want to memorize all this.
Yeah.
But essentially, not the sexiest, but for our like legal eagles here, you guys might have fun with this. Who knows? Let's hope, because you're listening to our show. But the underlying legal principle here is something called comparative fault, which is meant to determine how at fault each party is and whether they can recover damages as a result. Example, because I love examples. In some states, you can only recover if you are less than 50% at fault for an accident. In other states, you can't recover if you are at fault for even 1% of the damage. So let's say you have 99% of the damage done to you, but you caused 1% of the damage. Sorry, you can't recover.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty harsh.
Yep.
Pretty freaking harsh. So that's not the case with New York, though. Luckily, you're good. So the hospital also claims that Trevor failed to mitigate his damages. I love this. Basically, they're saying that Trevor, you should have taken better care of yourself. We don't really have many details, shocking, I know, but we think that they're probably claiming, like I said, that he needed a rest for, mm-hmm. I don't know, 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. But like you said, he was off the show for 7 days.
Right.
So they're going to go, well, you injured yourself further because you didn't take the proper rest and care that we said that you should have.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired of talking, your turn.
Okay. So on the damages front, as we've mentioned before, we don't really know what Trevor's asking for just yet, but the hospital is basically asking to have any damages that Trevor asked for offset by collateral benefits, remuneration, or compensation that he receives. So just to like get a little bit deeper into that, under New York law, in certain instances, plaintiffs can't get double payment for harms. So for instance, they could not get damages from a hospital and a doctor at the same time as an insurance company that would result in like double the money that they were asking for. But it depends on the payment. So here they're basically saying that any damages that get awarded by the court to Trevor should be reduced by like any insurance proceeds or like other money that he gets, because maybe he gets, I don't know, like money for sick time from work. I doubt that's the case, but just as an example.
Right.
And so, you know, they're also trying to like basically mitigate the loss and the liability on their end through this damages offsetting. And so, lass and maybe a little bit petty. The hospital and the doctor both say that they weren't properly served with the summons and complaints. And so basically they're asking like to use that as further evidence that maybe this should be thrown out. I feel like everybody always complains about this. Think about Tristan Thompson. He was like, I was in the driveway with my kids. And so they did it wrong.
Unless you're Dr. Dre and you got served at your grandma's funeral.
Ooh, forgot about Dr. Dre.
I'm not.
Yeah.
But you're right.
And even his didn't get thrown out. So.
I mean, yeah, right.
His didn't get thrown out from a funeral.
Really what this kind of claim is meant to be like, you left a complaint so far away from where I could have possibly received it. Mm-hmm. You know, like, and there have been instances where people try to get really sneaky it, right? Not like, oh, it was inconvenient to me. Mm-hmm. That doesn't count. Mm-hmm. That's not what we're after on this kind of claim.
I think the most interesting part out of this filing that the hospital put in and the doctor actually was basically to ask to have Trevor, they asked the court to have Trevor deposed in early February. So as a reminder, deposing somebody either means that they like testify or give evidence under oath in a room with attorneys from both sides, and the lawyers on both sides will be allowed to ask questions about the details of his allegations. So again, this all traces back to like him not providing enough kind of substance in his claims, and so they basically want the court to examine him on all evidence material and necessary for the action. And so in preparation for this deposition, the hospital and the doctor have already filed 71 pages of questions to obtain additional details about all of his allegations. Mm-hmm. And they say, again, that he was short on specific facts, and they basically, like, need more to give any real answer to the court.
Get ready for that. Sounds like a hoot.
71 pages of questions?
That's crazy.
It's going to be so boring. I would be so sassy by the end of 71 pages of questions.
Yeah. I mean, they're always pretty, I mean, a lot of them are similar too, right? It's just like a variation of a question.
For sure, 1,000%.
You're sitting there for forever. Mm-hmm. Like, this is just part of the reason why I never wanted to be a litigator. I just thought a lot of this stuff was kind of boring. Yeah, it's never like on the TV shows. There's never that like aha moment because all that stuff you've already done in depositions. Mm-hmm. Like when you go to trial, right? Like you've asked those things before. And then you'll be like, well, in the deposition, right? Things can still... Someone could say something different than their deposition. Mm-hmm. You actually hope that if you're on the opposing side, right?
Gold.
Because you're like, you lied, yeah, and, you know, and this blah, blah, blah. But it's not like that, it's not exciting. That
fun. It's never fun. I want to just point out a fun fact that I thought of or this, that stuck out to me. I think that it was interesting to me that neither one of Trevor Noah and or the hospital had like the reputable firms that we all know about, which is like you would think if you're bringing like a claim like this, you would come in with the heavy hitters. But they were kind of like a bunch of... lack of name attorneys, which I also
are we being a little snobby about this?
I don't know. It's not snobby when your attorney files a complaint and they don't give any evidence. Like
fair enough.
Clearly, your lawyer didn't do a great job. If the hospital basically comes back and says like we can't even answer this shit, because you gave us no facts.
I wonder why. Yeah, I do wonder why. Either the facts aren't there, you hired a not so great lawyer. Right.
Or one thought is like maybe they were trying to file before the statute of limitations was up. So they were like, just get in what we can. But I can't imagine it would have been up in a year.
Yeah, that'd be
for
very
personal
quick.
Injury. That's so fast. And some things don't even present themselves in a year.
I don't know.
So whatever. Not great. But OK, so where do things stand now? So Trevor is going to be deposed on February 8th, 2022. So we will be back with some updates at some point. Mm-hmm. The saddest part of the story to me is that he has to be deposed in White Plains, New York, which is like, I mean,
what does that mean?
Not Manhattan. So I can tell you, it's not Manhattan or Brooklyn. I can tell you that much. It's like, nothing. Just like a, it's like a sad going? Little town.
Oh, wow. Sorry if you're from White Plains and you love it.
Well, I mean, I'm from two sad little towns, so it's not like I'm from like,
look, if someone's
fucking Paris.
If someone's offended by us at this point, I mean, you really shouldn't be listening.
Too late,
I mean, judgy is in our name, so it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I won't visit White Plains. Thank you for that. But a bright spot, he just got back from a romantic trip to South Africa with his boo, Minka Kelly, which there were a lot of speculation about whether they were together,
for
though it seemed pretty obvious because they were consistently photographed together, but they didn't actually ever say anything. So I feel like that's why people were just like, why aren't they saying anything? So he actually posted a picture that she was in. It wasn't even like a couple's picture. She was just like,
it's not. It was like group shots.
It was like the first one too. It was like a quarter of her face. And I was like, how could you even tell it's Minka? But obviously it was. She was in the next one. And then she posted one a week later. So another thing, he was sitting. Interesting. Now that you brought up the knee situation.
All I'm saying is your girl knows how to do some research.
Like a shoulder.
And have some theories.
If you had shoulder, I picture, you remember Romy and Michelle's high school reunion with the with back the big brace? Shoulder
things on,
the,
yeah.
Remember the back brace though that she
his
had?
His elbow scoliosis? Also looked just fine. He was leaning on the table in one of the pictures. He was also smoking a cigar. So clearly.
Oh, use of the shoulder and the elbow.
Dexterity to smoke a cigar.
Okay. All right. Did he ever like throw it to the other arm? Then we would have really definitively narrowed it down to the knee. Okay. So, summary, what did we just talk about? We talked about medical malpractice, mm-hmm. negligence, professional negligence. Mm-hmm. When professionals mess up, and they mess up pretty bad, and it results in injury. The moral of the story, though, is if you are going to file a negligence lawsuit, get into the facts, mm-hmm. or you're going to face 71 pages worth of questions. All right. What advice do you have for our judges? We need some unsolicited advice, my friend.
If you are filing a medical malpractice claim on your knee, it's probably not advisable to fly to South Africa. I have questions about how bad your knee feels if you're taking 16-hour trips.
Ooh, judgy again. Fair enough.
What's yours?
I know. What is mine? I don't know. I'm trying to think because you already kind of said it. I just feel this. I feel like vet your lawyers, like maybe shop around a little bit and get a second opinion the way mm-hmm. you would with doctors, mm-hmm. because this complaint is not good, my dude. Mm-mm. You're going to be in that deposition forever. Not that you wouldn't anyway. Like I feel like the hospital would have thrown him into a deposition just because they could, mm-hmm. but like just do better with the complaints, you know?
It's not good.
Hit the spell check.
Yeah.
Hit the grammar check.
Yep.
You know, just do better.
Yep.
That's obviously Trevor's not a lawyer, but like, Trevi, vet your lawyers a little bit better.
We wish you luck, though. Hopefully you're better soon and good luck with your case.
Yeah, with that knee and those long trips. Mm-hmm. Hypothetically. Allegedly. All right. Q&A.
Q&A.
We got one question.
Okay.
If you had to pick another area of law to practice, what would it be?
Nothing.
Not medical malpractice?
Literally nothing.
I would leave the law.
If it's not entertainment, I'm quitting.
I'm outs. Yeah, I did real estate before, not going back.
I did real estate and mergers and acquisitions.
Yeah.
Similarly, not going back.
Those are both really boring.
Oh, you know what I would say? Okay, I've got one. Yes, I always wanted to.
It.
Okay, this is so fucked
divorce.
Up. I kind of always wanted to be a divorce attorney because I thought, like, you know, I like salacious gossips and mm-hmm. I like the hot goss and the tea.
Divorce could actually be, that's so sad, but fun.
Well, I mean, there's like a way to be a good divorce attorney, right? Where you're like mediating advocating. And trying to help them get to like a compromise that works for all parties. But of course, like you're going to get some, you know, excitement along the way.
Yeah.
It's like listening to your neighbors fight. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Which is always a good time.
Like can't turn away.
Yeah. No. I mean, obviously we're making fun of it, but we have to because that's what we do on the show. Mm-hmm. I agree. I think divorce attorney. But I would want to represent like the woman who was screwed over by the rich
sure.
husband
mm-hmm.
and like cheated on her
mm-hmm.
and hell hath no fear like a woman scorned. It'll mm-hmm. be like two of us. And mm-hmm. I'm like, mm-hmm. it's okay, honey. We're going to stick it to them. And then divorce attorneys also make a lot of money.
The only woman I would not represent in a divorce would be Shannon Bedore from Real Housewives of OC.
She's kind of weird.
Hate her.
To deal
just
with
can't
her?
Stand her. Can't stand her. I'm also, sorry she was cheated on, but she's her personality is yikes.
She just seems like very Karen and super entitled Karen because she actually had money. So you don't
she's
need,
definitely one of those people who tried to like go that. Into a store without a mask on and they stopped her and then like called 911.
She like maces.
And they were like, they're infringing on my
she
civil
maces
liberties.
Them. Yeah, she's like, they started it after everyone's been pepper sprayed.
Yep.
She also, my wife was watching Real Housewives of Orange County, by the way, for anybody who doesn't know who she was talking about, that's where she's from. And I looked over and it was like a scene where she was sitting by the pool and her makeup was just not looking great. She was like super orange and yellow and mismatched. So Shannon, if you're listening,
rough times.
Just look into mixing that foundation a little bit better. Match the skin a little bit better.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. We're going to move into our exclusive content for our patrons. So if you want to join us further, go sign up for our Patreon because we have some fun stuff there. Bye. Okay. Well, that was the fun Patreon-only segment. Sorry if you missed it, but you should not, so go sign up. Tell your friends all about us because we're here.
Tell your waiters. Tell your
Yoda.
Delivery men. Tell
Yoda, Darth Vader.
Both of them.
All stuff
tell
we just talked
doctor,
about.
Tell your doctors.
Yeah, tell your doctors.
If anybody knows Trevor Noah, please tell him.
Tell the lawyers that you're interviewing for your lawsuit.
Yeah.
Yep. Tell everybody. All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of Legally Judgy. We hope you enjoyed listening to us talk as much as we love the sound of our own voices.
If you did, please subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. Also, join us on our Patreon for more judgy shits and giggles. Until next time.
Bye.